This is Connected Nation, an award-winning podcast focused on all things broadband. From closing the digital divide to improving your internet speeds, we talk technology topics that impact all of us, our families, and our neighborhoods. On today's podcast, we talk with leadership from Fort Collins Connection, a community-based ISP that's winning national awards for its service. Find out what the company is doing better than others, how they're doing it, and what's ahead for an ISP that's making headlines for being among the best of the best. I'm Jessica Denson, and this is Connected Nation. I'm Jessica Denson, and today my guest is Chad Krager, the Broadband Executive Director for the City of Fort Collins, Colorado. Welcome, Chad.
Hi, Jessica. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited. We've been actually planning this for about 6 weeks, maybe longer than that when your team first reached out to me. You're pretty busy, huh?
Yeah, I think we're all busy these days, but I appreciate us being flexible and finding a time for us to chat.
Yeah, me too. Reading about your organization, the good things you guys are doing, I think that our listeners will really benefit from this conversation. But before we dig into the meat, I really like to let our listeners know a little bit about who we're talking to. So if you could, tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you to Fort Collins.
Yeah, I have my background is mainly in all types of transportation professionally. I actually moved to Fort Collins 8.5 years ago to be the city engineer. And so I remember when I first moved here, I read about that the city was thinking about developing their own internet. And I really didn't understand it. I moved here from Austin that had plenty of competition. And ironically, I'm in this position today. And what happened is that, my background is transportation of all types, including large projects. And the city started building out basically our fiber. And that's just a giant project that happens to hit everybody's sprinkler in every front yard in the city. And there were some challenges happening, and they needed someone to come in and help sort of right the ship for the overall project. And so I came in really leading the build. And was in it for a year, year and a half. And the executive director, he left and an opportunity came up and I decided to take it. So my background is not telecommunications, but I don't think that's a bad thing because I really have to lean on my staff that is much smarter than me, which is great. I have to know, of course, what they're talking about. But other than that, I really have to rely on great staff that we have here in Fort Collins.
Isn't that the saying, like, a good leader hires great people and then gets out of their way?
Exactly. If I can support you, get out of your way. And I have to know enough to call BS. But other than that, it's a lot of fun to work with a team. I found that sometimes subject matter experts tend to get in the weeds sometimes. And in my case, I get to lead just fantastic folks.
Yeah, you must have to have a real innate sense of curiosity too. Like, oh, well, why? How does that work that way? Why does that work if you come from a background of being an engineer and then going into this space?
Yeah, an engineer is all about solving puzzles. It doesn't matter what that puzzle is. The other thing for me, I am very big on customer experience, which in this industry, I think is one of the most important things that we can do.
Yeah, I think a lot of customers are going, yes. Yes. So you mentioned, it was funny, you mentioned the sprinkler thing. Do you mean that they were laying the fiber and people were like, what's going on with my yard?
Yeah, I mean, the reality is anyone that has a sprinkler in their front yard really has no idea where those lines are, right? Mm-hmm. And so when any entity comes out to build something in your front yard, you can't say, hey, my sprinkler's there, but you know where the heads are, but you don't know where the actual lines themselves are. Mm-hmm. So inevitably, we're hitting almost every sprinkler that there was. And it's really fun at Fort Collins because people turn them off in the winter. And so you don't know if you hit them or not until that spring when everyone decides to turn the sprinklers back on. And all of a sudden, you're getting hundreds of phone calls.
Mm-hmm. So is that the fact of the winters there are a little tougher in Colorado than they are in Texas, for sure. I grew up in
exactly.
Texas.
Exactly. So yeah. Otherwise here, and we're really getting into conversations I didn't think we'd talk about, but otherwise here, your sprinklers, your irrigation systems, they freeze, and then you're spending, thousands of dollars in the spring to replace everything. So here they turn them off and they blow them out. So they hook up an air compressor, blow out all the water so it doesn't freeze. And to get back on track, 100% of our build is underground. And so because of that, that's why we hit all the sprinklers. We don't even have pedestals above ground here. There, everything is below ground in Fort Collins, including, and this started in the 80s with our electric system. So our entire electric system in Fort
Oh.
Collins is also underground.
So it's an approach the city itself takes, and that residents and those who pay for things really expect is that this stuff is not going to be
That's
out.
exactly right. That's exactly right. It's not just for aesthetics. It's also because of reliability. When you have things underground, you don't have to worry about the storms that a lot of cities have that knock out their power or their internet.
So, how big is Fort Collins? Is it, how far is it from Denver? Is it in the shadow of Denver, or is it further out in the mountains, or?
Yeah, it's about an hour north of Denver. We're actually closer to Cheyenne, Wyoming than we are to Denver. So it's definitely it's there's a lot of cities that are sort of bedroom communities to Denver. We're far enough away to where we have our own identity, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. And I've been up through that way. And at least when you're traveling to Cheyenne, there's nothing for quite a
No.
ways. Yeah, it's very
Yeah, we're
rural.
north of Denver, kind of tucked up against the mountains on the west side of I-25.
So when you're doing, so let's dig in deeper, so to speak. I love my
Yeah.
little pun about the fact that
Right.
it's a city-owned fiber network, right?
Right.
Talk about what makes that unusual. Not every city owns their own networks. How does that work? Do you have others, do you have service providers come in and use that or rent that from you? What's the model there?
Yeah, I'll give you a little history to Fort Collins, what happened. And so back in the, basically 2010 or so, the city recognized they needed better internet from the incumbents. And they asked those incumbents, when are you going to invest in Fort Collins? And the answer from both was, we have no business plans at all to invest. Well, that really wasn't the right answer. So we as a city decided to explore building our own internet. And if you remember back when Google Fiber decided they're going to announce their first city, people started doing all kinds of crazy things, from polar plunges to changing their name. That was sort of the impetus for us, and I think a lot of cities, to consider doing it on their own. Now, we actually started this journey with a public-private partnership that fell through, and the city decided back in 2016, 2017, to actually do it on our own and build it out. And the way we were able to do it, and this is important, is because we have our own electric, we call it light and power, we were able to bond against that in order to activate the funds that we needed to build it out. And so in Colorado at the time, you had what was called Senate Bill 152 that the incumbents put in place at a state level, that you had to have your basically residents vote for in order for you to even talk about putting your own internet in. Well, not only did that pass overwhelmingly, but we also put a $150 billion bond in front of the voters, and that passed as well because of such a strong desire to have a better internet experience in Fort Collins. And so we decided to do it on our own. The advantage of that is that we, as we start to collect revenue, we will not only improve the system because 100% of the money goes back into the system, but we will also able to help out with either lowering prices or other aspects of the city with the revenue that comes from the internet.
Yeah, I was going to ask about low-income residents. That's something that a lot of states are dealing with now, not only just reaching people, but how do you help those lower-income residents or those rural residents or
Yeah.
those are just outside of that. Do you guys really approach that in a specific way, or is that just the internet there is just so affordable that it really you're able to reach most people?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we our prices are such that, one, we don't have anything less than a gig. So 1 gig is our lowest, and that's $70. And we recognize from the beginning that not everyone can afford that. And so from the very beginning of Connection Started, we set aside 6% of our internet revenue for digital inclusion purposes. And what that does is, if those that are income qualified, so 60% AMI, average median income, and below, They only pay $20 a month for that same 1 gig service. We don't believe at all in throttling back our speeds.
That's
And so
awesome.
the $50 difference is made up from the 6% of the money that we set aside, if that makes sense.
It does.
And so that allows us to be sustainable regardless of who's in office at the federal or state level. And so it's been very successful. We have about 1,200 customers that are on that rate.
So what about partnerships in the area and regional connectivity? How does that work? Do you work with a lot of other groups around the city and around the state?
Yeah. What makes this area of, really of the country unusual is that we have really four cities very close to one another that all have municipal broadband. And that's us, Loveland, Longmont, who was the first in Colorado, and Estes Park. And one of the reasons that all four of us are together is that many, many years ago, decades ago, those four cities decided to rely on another entity to generate their power. And when they did that, all of the power and the substations were tied together through fiber. Well, no one knew back at that point that fiber would be used to how it is today, but that's why those four cities actually have municipal fiber. And we still, to this day, actually tomorrow, we're getting together as sort of the leaders from each of those entities to talk about how do we do things better? How do we gain efficiencies, backhaul. We have intergovernmental agreements with each other so that we provide, redundancy. We provide actually technical support for others. We provide network engineering services. And so there's a ton of collaboration in this area. And some states don't have any municipal fiber. And we've had four just in this one area.
And there's all this talk about the BEAD program, that the federal dollars that are going into the state. Are you in contact with the state broadband office there in Colorado? Is that something you guys talk about, how you do it, or is that not a concern for you at this moment?
Yeah, we are actually. We were, I don't know how to say this, but the original round of BEAD, we were awarded funding. That disappeared. And we've since reapplied for BEAD as well. And what's great about BEAD is we have great relationship with the county that we're in. It's Larimer County. And the county is willing to really fund the 25% cash match for anything beyond our city limits. Our county that we're in recognizes the need for not just the cities, but those that are in the rural areas to get great fiber broadband. And so they're willing to put that cash up. And in return, we'll do a revenue share until that cash that they provided is paid off. And so that's why we're excited to continue to go after other funding opportunities, including BEAD.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I think everybody's hurting from that moment of, oh, none of these plans, we have to
Right.
redo all this.
Right. And
So
I feel
new
sorry for the state
administration.
broadband offices,
I
right?
do
It's not their fault.
too. No, I feel horrible for them. They all look a little bit beleaguered the last time I saw them at a
Right.
conference.
Right.
And I mean that in the nicest way.
Yeah.
So you guys are doing something right because you earned top spots in PC Mag's best ISPs list for 2024, and CNET put you as the best internet providers for 2024 and 2025. Why do you think that you earned that ranking? What is so great about it? I mean, other some of the I mean, touched on some things, but really expand upon why you think you've earned those honors.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, the reality is we have brand new infrastructure in the ground with fiber broadband all the way into the house. And so because of that, we really have the best technology that's available, including, 1, 2, and 10 gig customers, which is fantastic. But, the reality is technology will eventually be caught up by our competitors. And our big differentiator right now, even if they did catch up to us, which will take them a long time and a lot of money, is our customer experience. And it's not just something that I talk about. It is every single person in connection understands that what we're doing is providing an amazing service. And it really needs to be like something that you would get from the Ritz-Carlton as far as what you provide your residents. And so everyone understands that. And because of that, our churn is extremely low. Because once people get it, they realize if they have an outage, they can call in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and get a live person to talk to and fix whatever they need. And we'll roll a truck if there's an outage. But the whole point of that is our foundation is built on how do we provide a customer experience in an industry that traditionally people have extremely low expectations for what they're going to get from their provider.
Yeah, that it's true. If I have an issue, I'm like, oh gosh, I hope I can find somebody. I live in Louisville, Kentucky, and
Okay.
I won't
Yeah.
mention who I have. They're usually really good, but where I
Sure.
do have a problem, it is hard to get. My boyfriend makes fun of me because I'm like, live assistant, please give me a somebody. I can't stand talking to. That's one of my arguments against AI is I'm a early adopter, but some of those assistants that are on that you could talk to on the phone, you're like, if this is AI, then where are we going? Because it
Right.
drives me crazy. Anyway, I applaud you for that. You guys also were a digital inclusion trailblazer in 2024, and as a nonprofit, Connected Nation, we really care about digital inclusion and digital empowerment. Why was that important to you guys, and what was it that you did that to earn that moniker?
Yeah, I think the big reason is going back to that 6% that we set aside that funds not only that lower priced internet for the same speed, but that funding also provides basically we're funding a position at our local school district that is going into mobile home parks and other areas to really be a digital liaison. That funding is funding hardware. That funding is funding different programs at the county. Not only that, but because we actually have commission-based pay employees, which are the only ones in the state of Colorado of public employees, we now have a bilingual commission-based salesperson because we recognize that there are challenges sometimes when it comes going door to door. And so we want every resident in Fort Collins, regardless of demographic or where they live or anything else, to be have the ability to get our amazing internet. And we're doing everything we can to increase those number of customers.
Well, we applaud. I applaud you for that. I think everybody at CN Connected Nation would echo that because that is something that we really care about. Is want to bring everybody up, and that really leads into my next question. With how, what does that look like for Fort Collins when it comes to economic development and really making the city as great as it can be? How important do you think those connections, broadband for everyone, is?
Yeah, I think it's extremely important. I think as we talk to partners and those that will move to Fort Collins, whether it's home builders, we have become sort of the default for new homes that are being built in Fort Collins, which is fantastic. We're also talked about when we make trips all over the world, whether it's for bringing Quantum into this region or other things. Part of the discussion, there's a number of things, but part of it is that we have such reliable internet. And sometimes what we're learning, it's not just about our high speeds that the staff can bring, but with Quantum, it's about having actual glass in the ground. And so, how do we get those? Basically, how does Quantum talk to each other? For example, we have some of the most accurate clocks in the world, which is sort of the foundation for Quantum because it all comes down to like the nanosecond. Are here in Fort Collins, and there's one in Boulder, and they need to talk to each other with glass. And so, a big piece of this region is the economic development that happens. But how do we do it not just in the way from a home builder, all the way to the future with AI and quantum physics?
Quantum physics. Yeah, I've talked to I can't think of the Tennessee city. It just escaped my mind that's quantum. It's calling itself the quantum city. And even trying to understand some of that is so it's so deeply complicated.
Yeah, trust me, I've tried. I've gone to several lunches where I really am trying to understand everything, and I still have barely scratched the surface.
Oh, I have no
So,
hope. I'm
but
sure it gets
all
there.
we're trying to do is provide a tool that those that are much smarter than me in an industry that I barely understand can use.
That's amazing. So let's talk the future. Where do you see Fort Collins Connection in the next year, 5 years? Is there any growth that you really want that would be like this is perfection, chef's kiss kind of thing down the road for our organization?
Yeah, I think as we grow and we're able to continue to really almost double our number of customers that we have. Right now, we've got over 24,000. And so as we double that and we pay back our bonds, because we do have debt that we have to pay off, I think what we're looking at doing is expanding beyond our city limits into what we call the growth management area, which is really into the county. And so that is one of our goals, because there's a lot of those areas that for years they haven't had investments from sort of our competitors, and they're just really need to have faster internet. And so one of our goals is to expand in those areas at the same time continuing to invest in the assets that we have, so that the current customers have some of the best technology that's available. And so that's how we do both. And I would say that we can't lose sight of that we need to do what we can to our current customers while also expanding. And eventually, I'll tell you, Jessica, it may be that we end up, changing our price to a lower amount if it makes sense after all of our debt is paid for and we have the revenue coming in.
So really, because it is a community-based ISP, you could think community first rather than profits first.
That's exactly right. And as a matter of fact, it's besides paying back our debt, we obviously have to be always in the black. Everything is going back into the community, and I can't underline the importance of that enough. We're not sending funding out to not only outside the city or state or even country, but it's all going back into Fort Collins.
That's fantastic. Well, before I let you go, I just have a couple more
Yeah.
questions, I promise. What kind of encouragement would you give others, or what kind of advice would you give others that are maybe they don't have the same model, but maybe there are some mistakes made or lessons learned along the way that you would share with others who are hoping to expand their access or improve their internet connectivity?
Yeah, if from challenges or things that if I had to do differently, what I would do for folks that are starting this out is when you're building out, be as transparent as possible. It took our build out, because we're all underground, 3 years, and we, for different reasons, weren't as transparent as we could have been. That was challenging. But the one thing for positive I would say is make sure if someone you're going to do this, you're not just doing this to put technology in the ground and let someone else run it, but you are doing it to create an amazing customer experience. I think that as we talk about this and serving others, I think we've got to talk about really providing an amazing customer experience, or what we're doing is going to be exactly like the traditional competitors have been and just result in the same frustration. So I wish this industry would talk more about that customer experience, because without that, even with all the technology in the world, people will continue to have the same experience they always have, even if it's better technology.
I think that I would agree with that, being a customer. And you're right that when I go to the conferences, that because I do go to a lot of broadband conferences, you don't ever really hear much conversation, many conversations or many panels based on the customer experience. So
Right.
that's interesting that you would say that, because you're right, that's a missing piece that really is important. Is there anything that you want people to take away about Fort Collins Connections, or that you think people should remember about our conversation?
No, I think we certainly have a lot of lessons learned. I think that things are going very well for us, and we could always learn from others. What I was encouraged is if any listener or entity wants to talk more about the challenges that we've had or the opportunities that we have coming forward, to reach out. I'm more than happy to be transparent and candid with anyone that would like to have further discussions.
That's fantastic. I'm struck. I was struck by the fact that you came from Austin, and then landed in Fort Collins for this position, and were an engineer, but you've won these awards. So you're doing something right. So I would encourage people to reach out. Thank you so much, Chad. I really appreciate your time today.
Thanks, Jessica.
Again, my guest today has been Chad Krager, the Broadband Executive Director for the City of Fort Collins, Colorado. I'll include a link to the website for connections in the description of this podcast. I'm Jessica Denson. Thanks for listening to us. As always, you can find us on connectednation.org or look for the latest episodes on all major podcast platforms.